expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Southern Minds.
Oh yeah,
bump it up, bump.
Hey, wow!
It's starting to sound like I'm from New Orleans or something.
Hey man,
or something.
So today is Sunday, February 12th, 2023.
Well, leave it alone.
Yeah. I'm brought to you by. Not Pfizer.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. We got to go into that. Good. Today is, again, February 12th. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host for Sovereign Mind Radio. And we're brought to you by Julie Foster, and I'm not introducing anybody else because it's my show.
Oh, well, there you have it. You think so, huh? We can still talk.
Cut their mics.
No, you don't understand.
I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
Can you turn mine up just a little bit? I want to hear my voice better. There you go. A little more. Yeah, perfect right there. Okay, that's perfect. Also, the kid that rocks around the clock, Cyber Dave, is here with us. He just walked in 30 seconds before showtime.
Hey, you know what? I am fashionably early.
I'm not sure about fashionably.
Good leather. What are you talking about?
All right. We are brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents, in Red Bluff, 810 Main Street, 530-527-5534. She's the best, and she will take care of all your insurance needs. Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. Shout out to Marty McGill.
He said he was only doing Julie, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Shut up. Shout out to Marty McGill at Clear Creek Microgreens. Mountaintopmedia.com is the home of the epicenter of freedom. You got to say that five times fast.
Epicenter of freedom.
How about shave a cedar shingle thin?
Not going to go there.
I notice he doesn't have a coffee drink or anything with him. Wait until he gets his next blast of caffeine.
I was late, okay? I didn't have time to stop. If anybody wants to bring me a coffee, I'll be here.
And in the control center, Liam.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liam. Are you awake in there this morning?
I am on coffee number three. I am jittery, man.
Jittery?
I'm like,
he's got the shakes.
I'm like one of those kindergartners on the playground when they see a toy. I don't know.
He's going to start shaking in there.
boy. All right. Well, we got a lot to
cover.
Yeah,
to be in good shape by 2 o'clock.
We do have some announcements to make. Do you have any announcements? I have one.
I have a couple. First of all.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Frankie. We do miss you. And hang in there and get better. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Miss you, Frank.
Yeah. We miss you and love you. Second, we have a fundraiser coming up for 2A's, the Second Amendment with Mark Baird. It will be on March 11th.
We're going to have to try to get him in here and talk some more about him. We've got a pretty full show today. We want to mention that he is running for Senate. in California.
I don't know if he's actually suicided.
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We need to probably talk about that. It's been mentioned. He says he's thinking about it, but I'm not sure exactly where we're at yet. It'd be great if he does, because that's the kind of people we need down there helping us corral in out of control Newsom land down there.
But back to the fundraiser. This is the fund to restore the Second Amendment rights and open carry in California. It's going to be on March 11th. We're going to be at the Anderson VFW Hall at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. The doors will open up at 4 o'clock and dinner at 6. And it's being catered by Rockin' P Barbecue. If you want tickets, you can always get a hold of us at the office, or you can get a hold of Terry at 530-246-9706. I know Jones Fort will have tickets. And again, you can get a hold of us at the office at 530-221-0101 if you want to get tickets from us, or you can send in a donation. If you can't attend or
help out,
you can send that to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Just put in the memo 2A.
If you're done there, I want to mention that on the February 21st, 5:30 is the board supervisors meeting on the Second Amendment resolution. It's in the evening. It's the first evening meeting that we have. I don't think there's one tomorrow. I don't think there is.
I'll look it up real quick, but I don't think there is.
Yeah. And so that's something that everybody needs to get involved in. And so I got another one here. Go ahead.
I do have one more. Okay. So there are still 19 seats available, $30 a person by February 18th. So the date on that is closing in. And it is for the March 6th March for Life in Sacramento, bus ride with Mount Lassen Motor Transit. The person to get in touch with is Jay Nelson, 530-209-7791, or jnelson1960@gmail.com.
All right, I want to come back to the Shasta County. I got a good flyer here that Rich just sent me. So Shasta County Gun Owners, a chapter of the California Rifle and Pistol Association, they will be presenting evidently the Second Amendment resolution that's on the agenda. They're the ones that wrote it and put it together. That was Rich Gallardo and Gary Oxley, I believe. And they had a high-profile guy, but I didn't catch his name. I was listening on the way in. But that's something everybody needs to get involved in. If you want to get more involved, contact Rich Gallardo at 530-962-5168.
And, yes, there is no meeting on Tuesday.
All right, good. Well, good.
well, just to clarify it.
Tax season is upon us.
Yeah, the next one is going to be the night meeting on the 21st.
Okay, very good. I do want to, this is the last announcement that I have here, I believe, if you guys are done.
Yeah, I think we need to announce this.
Yeah, this is, we want to announce Bob Martin's passing. We haven't mentioned it because, you know, we just wanted to see where we're going and see what the updates were as far as the memorials and so forth. But Bob Martin is having a memorial mass, and it will be Saturday, March 18th at 11 a.m. And the location will be at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Redding near Benton Park. There will be fellowship and coffee and cookies after the mass in the church lower level. Feel free to, we're going to let all the friends, because if you don't know who Bob Martin was, he was the producer. He was the producer at the show here, and, you know, other shows as well here at KCNR for quite a while. I don't know how long. It was 10 years or something. It was a long time.
Yes, it was.
And
when we started, he was the producer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to give a shout out. And, you know, Bob was a great guy. We had a lot of good times with him. And he always threw his hat in the ring here on the production of Sovereign Minds. So we wanted to just kind of, you know, mention his name and say rest in peace, Bob. We really did love you. And, you know, your Godspeed. And also, I guess, if you want to get a hold of feel free, Memorial City, to assist you in the way you can. So if you can assist them in any way with, you know, any money or whatever you want to, help, with, you can get a hold of Lori Bridgeford at 530-247-3925.
And thank you, Lori, for handling that. We appreciate it.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's...
We do have a caller.
We have a caller already?
We do. We've got Terry on the line. What you got, Terry?
Well, there actually is a meeting on Tuesday. The Board
Really?
Of Supervisors. It's at 12 o'clock. It'll be for public comment. They are going to be selecting the next CEO or the doing a process of it. It'll be a closed session meeting, but the public's invited to come in at noon, voice their concerns, opinions, you know, all that good stuff. Then the board will go into closed session and decide, maybe bring down the finalists that are the candidates, you know, so if you, and then come back out and give their results and what they talked about in closed session. But there is a meeting on Tuesday. It's a special meeting at 12 o'clock. So if people want to go in and voice their opinion about the CEO, that would be really good.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know.
Sure.
All right. Very good. Thanks,
Terry. We appreciate that.
Okay. So we got a bunch of stuff to cover, so I'm going to get right on this stuff. You know, Big Pharma, but I'll tell you, after the... after the
satanic
Grammys,
worship.
I mean, it tells you
Grammys.
That tells you everything you need to know about Big Pharma. Well, kinda, because I've got some more stuff here, and I wanted to play this. This is from BitChute, and this is the channel is Nightbreed, and this is Robert F. Kennedy doing a small interview, and I just want to hit it up. We got Arthur Gorman coming in later, so I want to try to get all these video clips in where we can, because we're going to be talking about schools and what's going on in Gateway, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he'll be in at 10:30.
And all that, so, and we have some more stuff for that, but let's get some of these videos out of the way. Okay, so this is, you got to listen to this. Okay, this is about Big Pharma. Now they've approved the vaccine for the kids, you know, as a requirement for school, I guess. And you think, well, you know, so, but here's why they're doing it. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Do HH has its own study. Fewer than 1% of vaccine deaths are reported.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh. Okay, so what are your views on giving this COVID vaccine that they've made to kids? I know I'm from Canada, and I think that they're implementing that in order to go to school in Canada.
Well, they have to give it to kids because here's why. They cannot market this vaccine without having immunity shield. Oh, I mean, I sue pharmaceutical companies for a living, and I have enough criminal activity that I know about Pfizer at this point and Moderna, that if they went ahead and marketed a vaccine where they end up killing people or injuring them, and I can sue them, well, they'd be thrilled. So they're never going to market a vaccine, allow people access to a vaccine, an approved vaccine, without getting liability protection. Now, the emergency use authorization vaccines have liability protection under the PREP Act and the CARES Act. So as long as you take an emergency use, you can't sue them. Once they get approved, now you can sue them, unless they can get it recommended for children.
What?
Because all vaccines that are recommended, officially recommended for children, get liability protection, even if an adult gets that vaccine. That's why they're going after kids. They know this is going to kill and injure a huge number of children, but they need to do it for the liability protection. And here's how they know that it's going to injure kids. During the Pfizer study, they only tested it on 1,300 children. And one of those we now know was a girl called Maddie Gary. We only know about this because she and her family came forward and told us what happened. Maddie Gary got the vaccine. She immediately went into seizures. She is now in a wheelchair for life, and she needs a feeding tube to eat. So because Pfizer only tested on 1,300 kids, it is stuck with the extrapolation that one out of every 1,300 kids is going to be injured like that. an injury worse than death. Pfizer did not report her injury. Instead, it said she had a stomach ache. So that's what they reported to the FDA. They lied.
So I'm going to stop it there. If you want to watch this, you can go look it up yourself. Go to Big Pharma's Jabbing the Children to Keep Immunity Liability Infinitely, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You know, why are we still in a state of emergency?
I thought isn't it supposed to be lifted here California?
Do you believe they're going to lift it?
I didn't say believe it, but they're supposed to. Yeah, they keep moving the goalposts on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And why doesn't that – see, you really – Pfizer is evil. Let's just get it out there. Pfizer is an evil organization. Whatever happened to the left that corporations were evil? I guess they only pick and choose the ones that they want to not be evil. But – Pfizer is an evil corporation. All you had to do is watch the Grammys to see that. I mean, if they're supporting that, would you put? If you were, you know, an advertiser or a sponsor, would you sponsor that?
No.
I know that's a trick question. It's a tough
yeah,
one.
No.
But so. But getting back to the emergency, why is this emergency been kept implemented? Because it gives the vaccine manufacturers liability cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason that I can figure out, because we're not in an emergency anymore. COVID's like the flu. If we're having an emergency, it's because of the vaccines. And now we're just going to give them blanket immunity, and then we're going to give them blanket immunity by saying that it has to be part of the school vaccine
guidelines.
That's not the word I'm looking for,
but yeah.
Close enough.
Schedule
protocol, you know.
Yeah.
And so, so that's what they're doing. And so they have to do this in order to maintain their shield of immunity in the court system. Because if they get, away from their protection, if they lose their protection under the law, they're going to get the crap sued out of them from every corner.
How do they have protection when it was done prior to? This is, you know, this is premeditated.
Well, they got protection. Well, see, if you can prove that there's negligence or that's why these videos coming out from Project Veritas are so important, because it shows that not only did they knowingly do it.
Right.
Okay, then when you have negligence, then you might. So this is
and
not,
they just keep it up. They didn't stop there. But, they didn't stop at the beginning. They just keep adding to it.
See, but this has all got to be worked through the court system, and it hasn't done that yet. And we're still under the Emergency Authorization Use Act. And why is Mummy Man, what's his name, Biden, up there? Biden, yeah. You know, come on, Dementia Joe, the guy's so screwed up. Oh, yeah, we're gonna end the emergency. The emergency's over. First it was over, and then all of us get, that's not over yet. You know, because then when you say that, then that, you know, gives Pfizer, then loses its protection. It's back in, we're gonna lift it when? March something? No? Why? Why wouldn't we lift it immediately like we did here in Shasta County? Because it's still giving the big pharma protection.
Here's a headline from Today News. It was on Yahoo. Since COVID, more young people are dying of heart attacks. Here's what we know. And going into it, the age group hit hardest, people between 25 and 44 years old, who saw a 29.9% relative increase in heart attack deaths over the first 2 years of the pandemic, which means the actual number of heart attack deaths was almost 30% higher than the predicted number. Young people are obviously not supposed to die of heart attacks. They're not really supposed to have heart attacks at all, Dr. Susan Ching, a cardiologist at Caesars Chennai and co-author of the study, told Today in a segment that aired February 9th.
Well, and so we've been lied to every step of the way. We've got a untested, no clinical trials vaccine being pumped into the public out there. They're still running. Have you seen those stupid commercials on TV?
So I mean,
I don't watch much TV, but it looks like something out of a romper room video. Oh, get the vax, and they're all bouncing around like they're all happy people and stuff.
Yeah, and then they put the children, not to interrupt, but put the children on there. You know, I want to make my family safe. It's like, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's be honest, too. So there was studies. They just wanted to withhold them from the public for 100 and something years.
75, I think, that started maybe.
Oh, 75, my bad. Yeah, you'll all be dead by the time you end up seeing the documentation from the studies that they did.
So we're seeing this is playing out, but I'll tell you what, right now, if you're getting vaxxed or boosted, I think you're a moron because you have done no homework. All you've done is sit there like a sheep and listen to the mainstream media and the government tell you how to think and what to do.
Yeah. And you know, when you really start thinking about a lot of the different things it affects, what about the people that have gotten the jab that go give blood? Do they screen for that? I'm just asking, you know.
And China.
Do they screen it and then give it to other people or not? Or how do they do that?
And there's no payoffs or graft or no. You know, any grift going on here. And China's not behind anything, even though Wuhan was a lab that sort of worked with Fauci and made this thing, and they're all greasing their palms with big money, right? And that's why they want to keep the vaccine thing going, because they're not making any money, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So let's move on. We hit that, and then I want to talk about. They've been having hearings up on Capitol Hill, and there's some good stuff, and we'll probably put some together for next week because there's so much of it that now that the Republicans are in charge, they're just hammering on some of these guys. Will something come of it? I don't know. We'll see. But this is a clip from Matt Walsh, and this hit the Tucker Carlson show about Tennessee Democrats and transgender mutilation. And you got to hear this crap because there's something wrong with these people because they can't defend their arguments. They can't. So what they do is they go after the messenger. So they try to discredit Matt Walsh. It's just insane. So let's hear this one and then we'll move on.
Just curious, your definition of if you feel like people are adults at 16 should.
No, people are adults at 18, but actually, your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. So we should be having a conversation about whether we should even be doing these surgeries to people at 18. But certainly before 18, it's absurd. I mean, do you think that a 16-year-old can meaningfully consent to having their body parts removed? Do you? No.
This is the Tennessee House of Representatives.
Oh, Caleb Hammer, another ghoul defending the indefensible, had no answer. God bless Matt Walsh for doing that. He's those the Matt Walsh Show joins us. Yeah. Matt, thank you. It's so satisfying to watch. Boy, you expose these people as truly filthy people.
Yeah, I think, they expose themselves to it, I think most of all. And the interesting thing, too, is that I'm sitting there in the hearing. I was giving my view on this bill. I'm in favor of the bill to ban the mutilation of children. I'm giving my view as a taxpayer and a private citizen, not an author of the bill. So their really failed and embarrassing attempts to discredit me were not only humiliating for them, but also totally irrelevant. Because even if you can prove that I'm a terrible guy, does that automatically make it okay to mutilate children then? Because that's what we're supposed to be talking about. But they don't want to talk about that because they know they can't defend their position. This is the position that Democrats and the left are constantly in on many issues, in particular on this one, where their position is something that is so unspeakably evil that they can't speak it. So you can defeat them in an argument simply by trying to get them to state their premise. They can't even state their premise. I mean, the Caleb Hemmer does believe that 16-year-olds can consent to having body parts removed, but he can't say that out loud because he knows how crazy it sounds, and so instead he just falls silent.
You look at someone like John Ray Clements, looks like sort of a normal person, maybe he has kids. He's in favor of cutting the breasts off girls? I mean, how could anybody get to a place where that's okay?
I think, I can't see inside their minds, but I have to imagine that most of these people know at some level that it's wrong, but they're just ideologically beholden to it. That, again, is why they don't even attempt to defend it. And instead we get this credentialism thing going on, as if I need credentials to know that abusing children is wrong.
Well, as a Harvard-trained physician, I agree with you. It's wrong. Matt Walsh, great to see you. Thank you so much.
You know, this tells you exactly why Nazi Germany and the Holocaust happened, because if you can get so ideologically bent that you will defy logic when it comes to doing harm to your fellow human beings, no matter how much.
That's beyond harm. That's,
well, it's evil.
Yeah.
It's evil. It's just like, how did Hitler convince half the country that it was okay to exterminate the other half? I mean, how do you do that? Well, because people get so wrapped up in their own whatever that they can't even think what they can't even tell at that point the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things, too, on that particular video, and it cut out before we had an opportunity to actually hear the speaker's response, and when he had asked him, hey, do you think this is okay? Really? Yeah? No? And it was the Republican that said, we asked the questions here. Shut up, basically.
Yeah.
That's what you get from a Republican these days. And that's the problem is we have very few people that are on the Freedom Caucus. We have very few people that are actually taking a stand and making a stand, and the rest of them are all just in it for money, they're in it for power, and they're in it to control. And it's obvious through things like this.
Well, okay, so I got another clip here from JP. I'm not sure how much time we have.
Where are we at? Do we need to take a break?
Sounds like we do.
Okay, because, we got a few things to cover. So we'll go to a break and come back and play that, and we'll move right along. It's a fast-paced show. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNO, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
You've done me wrong for the last time. You sung your song. Now I'm going to sleep high.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Well, I ain't gonna work today. Just wanna sit around and play. Gonna hit balls off the dock. Kick back in my flip-flops. Don't owe nothing to the lender. Nothing spinning in the blender. The only thing on my agenda is beer and sunshine. Bonfire in summertime. Back porch nights,
This stuff that's going on right now, all across, now it's several countries. We're seeing all kinds of unidentified objects. We're seeing, like, right now, live as of 27 minutes ago, I've got people saying we just saw fighter jets in Finger Four formation fly over Gary, Indiana. They look like they're going on their way to the Lake Michigan, where the U.S. just closed airspace.
Yeah, I heard about a little bit about this. I don't know. Something's going on.
Well, so there's the Pentagon, I don't believe them. But the things that they said, not the Chinese balloon, the other objects, they said that they were just smaller balloons. But there's no way.
Well, right.
Because they described exactly how they did in the Pentagon study that came out
they lie about
over the summer.
They lie about everything at this point. I mean,
I think it's aliens. And when we, and when we go to war with the aliens, you will be fighting me.
Wow. Okay, shut his door.
No, no, Biden, Biden yes. just checked his list. He was like, internment camp.
Well, I've been on that list for a long time, so I
Well, and this is really interesting because there's this hypothetical Project Bluebeam that they've been working on, which basically is a second coming of aliens that they're, quote-unquote, at least according to the conspiracy, they're trying to create a second coming.
This is the part where
world order.
This is the part where I start to reel you in.
I realize this, but this is the part to where now I'm going to actually hit some of the other things. So this is the Ugandan. Thank you. I can't talk today. We covered the not
take
coffee
a drink,
thing.
Take a drink of water. I'm still going to reel you in here. Yeah, let's see where you're going. We got a guest here, too.
Air Force informs the view of complaints received in the night sky on February 10th regarding the sighting of flashing lights in the sky in the area of Termas of Almiron, Department of, I'm not saying any of these
where
names.
Where was this at? South Padre Beach? Or no,
so,
never mind.
In the area of Termas de Almiron. But, so, this is the Ugandan, Ugarian... I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but anyway, you've got that one that's going on. China just said they had one. Local maritime authorities in East China, Shandong.
Do you know what I think this is? I think it's distraction from what's going on.
And then also one over in North Montana was just spotted. And then you also have Justin
Trudeau.
I'm
not saying there's not something going on, but I'm saying they do this thing as a matter of course as a distraction on a lot of things. Now, you could be totally right. Maybe we're getting invaded by aliens. But I think we should go back to the local school board.
Don't look at the school board.
Well, they have their own aliens at the school board.
Yeah,
okay.
So, and we got we had a bunch of stuff in the Intel committee about Jimmy in the chat room about the Twitter executive. There's so much news going on that we can just go on forever. But let's introduce our guest, and I think I'll put JP on hold for a little while. You totally screwed my deal up, dude. I mean,
I'm sorry. Breaking news! You got all kinds of weird objects.
Breaking news!
There's a lot of weird things going on.
There's breaking news! There's an alien in the White House. That's not breaking news. We knew that back at inauguration day.
So we're talking about aliens, and we're not talking about Pedro. Got you.
Well, I don't think that's an alien. I think it's more of a zombie. I don't think zombies could be aliens. Mm-hmm. Could be an alien zombie politician.
It could just be Joe.
Wow.
They're among us.
So I'm gonna channel reality and common sense here for just a second. I want to introduce Arthur Gorman. He's in the studio here with us, and he's on a school board. Yeah. But I can't even remember which one it is because there's so many in Shasta County that I'm not even sure what's going on. And I've been seeing your emails, but I'm lost in distraction with so much going on.
Oh, yeah. There's about 25 different school districts in Shasta County.
There's more here than there are in, the San Diego school district.
Yeah, that's...
That's crazy.
You know, there's a big push by the government to make one school district to rule them all. So,
do you guys have to wear rings?
Yeah, they might. But...
and what would be the problem with that?
No, yeah. Yeah. Like, right now, you have 24 different school districts, 25 with SCOE, and the parents in those districts can run for school boards, and they can influence the way that they want their community raised.
So, would you happen to know approximately how many people sit on those 25 different school boards?
There's an average of 5 representatives on each school board.
Wow. That's a lot of 125 people or so.
Yeah, so if you went to what Southern California likes to do and just make one centralized government.
Yeah, then they lock it in with a bunch of liberals that sit up there.
You'd have like 5.
Tell everybody what to
do.
You have one county elected county school superintendent, and then you have a lot of bureaucratic guys that are just
get a Dominion.
In there.
You just get a Dominion voting machine, and you got control, buddy.
Everybody's making
nothing happens with those.
Yeah. So.
Everything's good with those machines.
Well, we played a clip last week where NBC was having a problem with their expert saying the machines could be rigged and totaled and tallied before the 2020 election. All of a sudden, when they win, it's like, you guys are election deniers. And I don't know. I'm not sure where we should go with that. But where should we go, author? I'm not sure where we should go today. I mean, there's so many.
But, you guys brought up a big
gateway.
Well, let's talk about the vaccine real quick.
Okay, good. Let's
because, we had a big protest a couple years ago, or last year, about the vaccine mandates coming to Costa County, and, over 40% of people participated in that, and over 27% of California participated in that protest that day. So, the big thing is everybody says, when the emergency is over at the end of February, so goes the vaccine mandate, but that's not exactly what it even says.
Right.
It says that it's not actually tied to their emergency youth authorization. It's not tied to the mandates. So the California Department of Health has not taken it off of their agenda to make it go forward for your kids for the next school year. And they actually have the authority not to even go through legislation for that.
So they can go either way with it, right? They could say yes or they could say no as far as that goes.
And as soon as they add it, because they don't need legislation to add it, then without legislation, you can still have a personal exemption for a vaccine. But if they put it through legislation, then your personal exemption doesn't apply.
I think we should put together the Middle Finger of Defiance School Act.
Oh, yeah. And then this year they want to also add the HPV to all kids.
What's the HPV?
That's when they get it at 11 or 12?
I've lost track. There's so many.
The only way you can get this is if you're having sexual relations with another person.
You can have the vaccine and your parents not know about it, correct?
Aren't all 11-year-olds having...
I was doing a study on the HPV as well with another person. He was a liberal, and he was talking about how we needed to mandate this. And I was going through and looking at him like, all right, so it only ends up actually protecting the kids for a certain set period of time. So by the time they turn 18, they're no longer protected by the HPV vaccine. And in fact, what we ended up seeing in the studies that all other cases of HPV-related cancers – were up in the kids that ended up receiving the vaccinations.
False protection.
Exactly. So you got a small amount of these cancers that were treated. And what they said at the time, and I asked him at the article, I'm like, all right, well, based on this, do you still think that that's good? He goes, well, I'm going to ask my professor about that. And he never got back to me.
Well, that's because, if you challenge these guys, it's just like the clip we played in the Tennessee legislature with Matt Walsh challenging the guy. Say, you guys are okay with cutting off kids' body parts? That's all good? Well, they got no answer because is there a positive answer to that? Oh, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Right.
So it's absolutely insane. The direction that these guys are trying to push everybody in.
Well, how many people would know that about the legislation, about what they're trying to pass with these kids, or not pass, however you want to look at that,
Well,
the parents probably have no idea until it's in their face and they say, well, no, they can't, little Johnny can't come to school unless, you show us the record, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw a thing from Five Times August, and he had a picture of the vaccine card before all of this. And remember when we were only supposed to get one vaccine?
Right.
And now the card actually had 5 spots to get vaccines, and you're thinking,
what was the intention? Yeah. Normally in leadership and you're forming a vision you're actually
trying to
beginning with
the
end in mind, right?
Exactly,
so that's
yeah.
what any great leadership does. And they actually did begin with the end in mind. They wanted you to have 5 shots.
Well, and I got a clip we're going to play a little bit here, and it's called Gates Behind the Bars by Five Times August.
Well, maybe by your fifth one, maybe there's not a sixth one, because maybe you're not there after the fifth.
Well, I guess there's that possibility.
Well,
I have
the stats on that. I played it on the podcast over at Mountaintop Media, Sovereign Minds. It showed the stats as they got the boosters and the vaccine injuries and the deaths as the more boosters they got, it like doubled exponentially the amount of vaccine injuries and death.
Yeah. So basically it's like Russian roulette with each click of the cylinder.
you get
a little closer.
It's even worse than that because you know eventually you're going to have something.
Yeah, the thing that you're seeing and across the country and in other countries as well is that there's a rise in immune modulator. Your immune system is on overdrive with these vaccines, and every time you get a boost, your immune system revs up. And some people's immune system is actually attacking their own body, whether it's their skin, their kidneys.
Well, that's why you're getting all different diseases like cancer and everything that they're talking
about.
And
if you went to any oncology nurse throughout the nation, they would say that we've had an uptake in cancer. And it's like, wait, is that because, you know, a lot of people missed their preventative medicine during COVID and they didn't get their mammograms or they didn't get anything? They're like, no, you're seeing increase in brain cancer, increase in kidney cancer, increase in skin cancer.
Harm to pregnant women or getting pregnant, their menstrual cycles. We even heard that out on this last project Veritas. And then I guess they're going to fire James O'Keefe. I haven't got the gist of that.
Got a lot that I want to say on that, because there's a number of things that appear to be malicious that are going after the right, and I don't think it's coincidental. I don't think that at the same time as you've got lawsuits against almost all of these major institutions like the Blaze Media Network, James O'Keefe getting replaced and sent out
on paid
leave.
A powerful corporation with unlimited money wouldn't attack anybody that's not towing their line.
Right. And I like how you brought up lawsuits, because back at SCOE they introduced that policy 5145.3, and they include this in harassment. So they said that if you harassment could be defined, which they take everything out of context about harassment, but they said if you misgendered somebody, if you didn't call them by what their chosen name or chosen identity was that day, you can be misgendered, then you can be re-educated, you could be...
So I'm just curious, can you change your identity at will anytime you want?
It's fluid.
Yes.
You can change it whenever you want, and you have to conform to it. And
so,
if you have an activist parent out there, or an activist teacher or counselor that really wants to push that, then they can force these policies on employees or students.
California. What that creates is a situation where they can change the policy anytime they want. They can screw with anybody who screws with them, because all of a sudden you're this, you're that, you're, you know, I'm going to change my fluidity right now to dictator. You guys all need to shut up and do what you're told.
Right. And we got a letter from a
lawyer.
Notice
how they all listened.
Henderson, and out of Southern California, that represents students' rights, and she sent a letter to SCOE and actually said that harassment, the plaintiff would have to show that he or she suffered pervasive or offensive harassment that effectively deprived the plaintiff of the right of equal access to education benefits and opportunity. The school district had actual knowledge of the harassment, and the school district acted in deliberate defiance in the face of such knowledge. And teasing and name-calling between children and peer groups is not harassment.
That's so screwed.
Okay, but
so
what do you call bullying?
Well, I just saw over the weekend an article where this gal in, I think it's New Jersey, 14 years old, got bullied and committed suicide.
Suicide, yeah.
Because the school board wouldn't, or the school wouldn't do anything about it.
Right. And did the school get sued? They probably didn't.
I think the father's, the father's going to do something. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what it
Chico
is.
Chico Unified School District, there's another case down there. They're actually pursuing it. And it's been on Fox News and all the conservative outlets. Interesting, the liberals don't want to cover any of it. But the child went in, talked to the counselor. Counselor convinced the child that they were the opposite sex, went into their record, non-official record, changed the gender identity of the kid. The kid wanted to come out to the parents. They said, no, you have to come out to your peers first. You can't tell your parents. And then eventually the parents found out, and got the kid counseling, and now the kid's like coming out of that, because why didn't the kid go in that had depression? The counselor called the parents and said, hey, you really need to help out your kid. They're having a little bit of depression. Doesn't matter what the subject
right.
is, but they
right,
should be
yeah.
calling the parents and saying, hey, we got counseling available. If you want to come down, we got that. We got referrals for you. But they stepped past the parental rights and put their own agenda on the kid.
Well, that's what really the agenda is, to make the state the parents is what I think, because it's just like getting rid of religion. If you think there's a higher power, you'll listen to God before you will the government. And they need to eliminate that. They need to eliminate that link from the parents to the religion, to God, whatever it is, so that you look to the state for guidance on everything.
Yeah, and they're doing that on everything right. through the school system and the kids. If you stop and think about it, they don't want the parents involved at all, having yeah. any knowledge of what's happening in the school and what they're putting the kids
even
through.
Here, there was a kid, I think it was in Mountain View Middle School, there's information going around, and that they did that to a parent there as well, is the kid was identifying as something different, and they didn't tell the parents at all. In fact, when the parents found out something, they said, oh, well, you know, we'd like to help you through this. We'd like to guide you through this. And the counselor actually sent, I don't know if it was Child Protective Services or social workers, over to the house to figure out why the kid wasn't returning the counselor's text or emails. So
I think you got to pull your kids out of school at this point. That's my personal opinion.
And on that note, I have a article here from the Epoch Times that came out on the 10th. California bill will ban student suspensions for defying teachers disrupting classes. A California Senate bill introduced last week would
ban schools. So they want chaos.
Would ban schools from suspending students who disrupt class or defy teachers, known as willful defiant suspensions. Senate Bill 274, introduced by Senator Nancy Skinner, Democrat in Berkeley, said that such suspensions lead to students dropping out and exacerbate learning loss at a time when there are many still
behind
in
COVID-19. Well, they're not fully brainwashed at that point when they drop out, you see. But this goes to the State of the Union speech and the response by Sarah Huckabee. There's normal and there's crazy. And that's really what this is about. These people are crazy. They live in the land of illusion. It's pure freaking imagination. You can't just go, I'm a cat now, or a dog, or, a different sex. That's living in the land of illusion. And if you live in the land of illusion, you're going to have nightmares.
And meanwhile, too, while all of these things are taking place and transpiring, and you've got all these disruptive students. Here's another one that came out on February 9th. 23 Baltimore schools have zero students proficient in math. The state report shows less than 5% of students district-wide were able to pass the math test.
This goes to why they kept the slaves ignorant back in the South, if you remember. They couldn't read books. They couldn't do this because if you are ignorant and you are illiterate, you have no idea what alternatives there are or how to...
You don't know what your options are
at
all.
You don't know what your options are. You know, and then you got Disney coming out with their propaganda saying, this country was built on slaves. No, this country was built on freedom, and we freed the slaves.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's insane. I mean, even the California Department of Health wants the kids to get 2 shots a year if they pass it through.
Wow.
2 shots a year.
Yeah. Of anything. Or do they?
Of the COVID.
Of the COVID.
Yeah.
Of course, we're violently offensive. I got a quote here from Thomas Paine. It says, he who dares not to offend cannot be honest. And I think that kind of says what's going on, is we're being attacked for being honest.
Right. And we want to get back to the basics. We want our kids to know how to read, so they know how to learn, so that they know how to do math.
So they can take care of themselves and be productive members of society and contribute to society so everything gets a little better, hopefully, over time.
Exactly. And we don't depend on the government to take care of us.
Yeah, but that self-reliant thing really throws a wrench in their craw, because then if you don't look to the government for your protection, for your food, for your housing, for your money or whatever, take your pick, then you're not dependent on them and you have a lot less likelihood of stepping up and saying, I'm not doing that.
Right. You mean I have more liberties and freedom?
Oh, that's it. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy because, the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, all throughout history, even in the Nazi Party, they said, we don't really need you to conform to our ideas. We just need your children. So they indoctrinate the youth
They're
of the nation.
They're targeting our children. There's no question. And I have a bunch of stuff here, and I'm going to try to post some of it on Facebook. But, you know, we got the, you know, if you want to get involved in some of this stuff, go to GoodTube Kids and sign up for their newsletter. I'm looking at their newsletter. They got a bunch of resources about, you know, foundational stuff so that you can start protecting your kids, because these kids are being targeted. There's no question about it. You know, with their counterculture crap of, you know, LGBTQ, XYZ, FU, you know, you got that. You got the transgender, drag shows in kindergartens. I mean, come on, you know, and then they deny everything. Oh, that's not really happening. And then they just change the names because it still is happening. And we're in a conservative county here in Shasta County. So we're probably not seeing it as much.
The problem is, you know, after the last 2 years and we've gone to our local government, whether it was school board, city council, the county supervisors, we all thought, we live in Shasta County, this is a conservative area.
Right.
No problem.
And then you get into those positions and you're asking the people, oh, they must agree with what I think. You know, a bunch of liberal people.
In charge of everything.
Even socialists, known socialists, have run and won in Shasta County.
Well, there must be a few of them that sit on some of these school boards with passing some of the stuff that they have on their boards.
Right, and it's because the strong conservatives with good family values aren't running for these positions. And if you want to make the change that you want in this county, you need to run. You need to run for position. And the school board is an easy one. The school boards, it's one meeting a month. You might, throughout the month, you might do a little bit here and there and visit a school or see what's going on or answer a couple emails, but it's a very low entry level way to get involved in politics, but a phenomenal way to make a big impact of generational change.
You know, what's interesting is I was just Googling, I'm on YouTube looking for GoodTube Kids. I put in GoodTube Kids and it took me about 10 clicks to get to GoodTube Kids.
I know, it did me too.
Because they show you all this other crap that you're probably not looking for. So I'm going to post this on Facebook here, and there's always links in the bottom there to get to the newsletters and everything else.
So since you've been on the school board, have you seen where people are starting to get more involved in the information getting out more to the parents?
Yeah.
Do you think, or too early to tell?
No, yeah. Well, since I've been on our school board, yes, because I'm one of seven that actually push the information out to the community. None of the other folks are actually sharing or getting involved or making the community aware. Even the Shasta County Office of Education doesn't do a fabulous job of actually getting information out there. And, you know, one, you think it might be designed, because why would you want people to have the information? You know,
right.
We have one of the biggest budgets in the county. We spend most of the money in the county. We have more employees than we have students. We have more programs. So we have a lot of money and a lot of influence with the Shasta County of Education. But yet when people come and they say, hey, we really need your help, or we need help with this, they say, oh, well, you know, we're just a small school district. We don't have any many students. We don't have that much influence. And I say, well, money, with money comes influence, and they got a lot of money. They have a lot of influence, and their top people are there. I think Judy Flores is making around $230,000 a year.
Wow.
And superintendents, which she has two, is about 180, 190. They're making more than other superintendents that have hundreds, if not thousands, of more students that they're responsible for and more employees. So
well, that's because they're special. They've decided. That's how you do it. I'm special, and I work at the school board, so I get more money.
Well, that's the only way we get good people. Don't you know that? You got to pay them three times the amount, and that way that they will be good for the children.
I'm self-identifying as better than everybody else and getting paid more.
In the school board, we only get, I think, $266 a month.
You're in them now, baby.
Well, you need to change your identity a little bit here, buddy, okay?
The government only allows us to get 5% more, which we voted down. I guess we voted down all the time. I'm like, I thought it should be free. And we're just going to one.
Well, that used to be why it was called, you know, the service. You know, I'm going to go into service for the government, you know, become a public servant, because you would go there not to make money, not to get rich, not to make a career, but to contribute to the benefit of the community for a short time and then go back to whatever your profession actually was.
So at this last meeting, we've been talking about term limits. And they don't like term limits because only a certain amount of people run for these school boards, and last time three people just ran.
They're going to cut right.
Off. Yeah, they are. We're at the top of the hour, so we will pick it up on the other side at the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's more balloons. The U.S. believes the unidentified objects shot down by American fighter jets over Canada and Alaska the past 2 days were balloons, although smaller than the big spy balloon from China that was knocked down over the Atlantic Ocean last weekend. Schumer tells ABC TV's This Week program today he was briefed last night by President Biden's national security advisor. Meanwhile, the U.S. has blacklisted six Chinese entities linked to Beijing's aerospace programs as retaliation over the spy balloon.
It will make it difficult for five companies and one research institute to obtain American technology exports. The Bureau of Industry and Security says the entities were being targeted for, quote, their support to China's military modernization efforts, specifically the People's Liberation Army aerospace programs, including airships and balloons. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
The European Union is launching its ban on imports of Russian diesel fuel.
The 27-country EU is taking the step to further slash its energy dependency on Moscow. The measure also aims to cut the Kremlin's fossil fuel earnings as punishment for invading Ukraine. The ban comes along with a price cap agreed to by the group of seven allied democracies. Europe will have to find new supplies of the diesel fuel from the U.S., Middle East, and India.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The British economy stagnated in the final 3 months of last year amidst a cost of living crisis that's squeezing household budgets, crimping business investment, and fueling labor unrest. The Office for National Statistics says the gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure of economic activity, failed to grow during the fourth quarter of 2022 in the UK. The country faces a prolonged economic slowdown, experts are predicting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
Legal action and that train derailment in Ohio.
A federal lawsuit is trying to force Norfolk Southern to set up health monitoring for residents living near the site of a fiery train derailment along the Ohio-Pennsylvania line. The lawsuit filed Thursday by two Pennsylvania residents calls for the rail operator to pay for medical screenings and related care for anyone living within a 30-mile radius of the derailment. The lawsuit says those tests would determine who is affected by toxic substances released after the derailment. About 50 cars, including 10 carrying hazardous materials, derailed a week ago in the Ohio village of East Palestine. Keith Peters reporting.
The Navy and Marine Corps holding joint exercises in the South China Sea this weekend, a time of heightened tensions between Beijing over the shooting down of that suspected Chinese spy balloon. The 7th Fleet, based in Japan, says the USS Nimitz Aircraft Carrier Strike Group and the 13th Marine Expeditionary Unit are working. News and analysis at townhall.com. Elon Musk has an issue with Ukraine's use of his Starlink service.
Musk's SpaceX doesn't want Ukraine to use its Starlink satellite service to direct combat drones in its war against Russia, so it's limiting Ukraine's ability to use it for offensive purposes. A government advisor said Ukraine uses Starlink to liberate, not attack, and that the satellite service has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 12th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Joe Don Baker. He is 87 years old. Famed children's author Judy Blume is 85. Country singer Mo Bandy has 79 candles on his birthday cake today. Actor and talk show host Arsenio Hall, can you believe it? He's 67. And Super Bowl 57 is on the way tonight. Chiefs and the Eagles will settle matters at 6:30 Eastern. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their show through, but my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance. That's never free.
It is. I have to say, I am shocked that he knew that song. That was wonderful.
What can I say? Even a
that
blind
makes me
squirrel,
happy,
man.
Yeah, even a broken clock gets it right twice a day anyway. Huh?
Here for it.
I guess we have a caller here. Never mind.
Oh, we do.
Never mind.
We've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Arthur?
Doing good. How you, Terry?
Good, buddy. I have a quick question. What exactly is the jurisdiction of the Shasta County Board of Education? Do they have any more influence over curriculum or policy over the school boards? And what exactly is their function? When we heard the chairperson of the Shasta County Board of Education on Carl Bott's show, she was sort of deflecting everything to, it ain't my job, man. So what exactly does the Shasta County Board of Education have jurisdiction over, and can they influence the school boards with anything, and do they have any power to stop or start the school boards to do something?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So jurisdiction, they only have the authority over the Shasta County Board of Education District. So there's a couple charters that are under them, but those charters, they've told me, have their own boards. So the boards pass their own policies on the charters. So those charters are looking to us to renew the charter. So if we decide that, you know, you don't agree with us, we're going to stop your charter. And that's why we do site visits, to make sure they're up to snuff, and we make sure that their legal, their accountability plan for their finances are all on board, and they're not going to go bankrupt. And so SCOE does that for the charters that are under us and the programs that are under us. So they only have jurisdiction for that. Where it comes with the other 24 school boards in Shasta County, they're all independent of SCOE. They have their own boards. They pass their own policies. All that goes through. But where SCOE comes in is they have they're LCAP, so they have their financial accountability plan, local accountability plan that SCOE has to approve. So, you know, with me, I always think, okay, what does that mean? If I have to approve another district's financial plans and say if it's good or not, and I can report you to the state, I might have a little bit of influence in your life saying that you don't have a very good financial plan, and I think I'm going to report you to the state.
Can they stop the funding?
No, they can't stop the funding. They just can report you.
Well, I'm saying, hey, depends on what happens
after they're reported, though.
We're back to the middle finger of defiance,
right.
Yeah. I think.
So that would be an excellent question for Judy Flores, for everybody to get her email and ask her, what exactly could you do and what jurisdiction do you have over our local school district.
Let's see if we can run Judy Flores's email down.
Well, we've done that and tried to run her down on that and ask her about questions, and she there's many people that have asked her that, and it's sort of been a nebulous answer.
Yeah.
Basically, what we've gotten is she's just basically a liaison, sort of a messenger, and helps with salaries, helps with any situation that a teacher may have or something like that. Is that pretty much what she does, Arthur? Or?
Well, she has staff that does that. So she has two superintendents. One's in charge of the staff and the one's in charge of facilities. And they both have assistants. And then Judy has an assistant as well. So they're all, it's like very top-heavy at Shasta County Office of Education.
Gee, I'm shocked.
Pretty top-heavy. Yeah. So,
anyway, thank you, guys. Good show. Thanks again.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Get well, Terry.
In the United States and California, everybody has the right to equal education under the law. So the federal government and the state government have to fully fund your school district. They have to, based on laws that they passed. So whether you comply with what they say doesn't do anything to your programs or affect your financial standings.
It doesn't cut any of the monies at all. They cut it back if you don't comply.
So the only thing that would happen is if you accepted a grant and you didn't adhere to what that grant had.
So what leverage do you have over the state?
In fact, over the last three meetings, the community members that asked that same question have been met with the same answer.
Nothing.
We do not have any control over your local school districts here at the county.
Well, that's a good thing. I like that. So we just need to get people in these school boards that are going to start fixing their own backyard.
Right. But the thing is, there's two positions that every county board member sits on. So you have your Shasta County Office of Education board member seat, but you also have this redistricting board that they don't tell you about until you're on there. And that board has the ability to dissolve school districts or unite them together.
Whenever they see fit, they can just basically...
They can have meetings and have the public come weigh in or whatnot, but there's some legal stuff that goes into it. So, like I said...
Is it like every 5 years, like they do with the regular, or is it anytime they want?
They meet, like we'll have like a meeting quarterly or something to talk about it. Usually there's nothing to do, but when the state finally comes down and says, we want every county to have one school district, and these are the laws we're going to pass, and we're going to take away your representation. You no longer have 24 school districts in Shasta County. You just have one. And we're the liaison for the state, and we're going to pass the policy. So don't worry about it. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, right.
We're here to help.
We're from the government.
We're here to help.
And we know what's in your best interest in Shasta County.
Of course
County.
We do.
Way
yeah.
down here in Sacramento and L.A., we know what's best for you.
Yep. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Stone. Good morning, Stone.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to cover a couple things with the Gateway School District. I have regular conversations with some of those board members. I am providing advice and legal source material to certain board members there. So I have the background make such comments that I'm about to make. So this Wednesday they have a board meeting. They're going to decide to either replace the vacant position on the board. They have two choices, either appointment process or special election. School districts don't normally go to a special election due to the cost because then the district would pay that. So they will likely go the appointment route. And then problem we have here is one of the current board members was given a policy manual in print by Debbie Bootinger. I'm going to call her name out because she is continuing to obstruct, delay, omit information to this new board membership. And Debbie Bootinger once again gave a policy to a current board member that was incomplete. And the portion that was missing in this printed policy packet was the appointment, the temporary appointment process for a vacancy. And I think, I don't know, either that was intentional that was left out of the printed manual, or it was an accident. Either way, Debbie Bootinger is incompetent or she is subversive, and she needs to go. This is not one example. There's many other examples of Debbie Bootinger and Steve Henson, the interim superintendent, and now they're continuing to delay and obstruct this new board. So anyways, Wednesday is their meeting at 5 p.m. They're going to be deciding to appoint or elect. They will likely go the appointment process. So anybody interested, yeah, contact Gateway School Board. See, putting your name in the hat.
Well,
Yeah, I know Debbie personally. I've known her all my life, and I know that she's not incompetent, and she's not trying to be subversive or anything. She's a great lady, does a great job there at Gateway. And, you know, it's just a bummer bummer what's happening at Gateway. You know, it's, I wish it was different, you know. But the folks need to be informed correctly. They need to have their policies given to them. I would say that Debbie's probably the best thing that ever happened to Gateway. She's an excellent worker.
And we all have our opinions, but what I stated is based on facts and evidence and a documentation or lack of documentation. So, and that's unfortunate that we have to have these conversations in public. But she is a public employee paid for with public dollars, and she's not doing her job to the best of her ability. And I'm sorry, those are actually the facts. And so, anyway, put your name in. There's other people going to be putting their name in. So let's get a few candidates, non-establishment, hopefully, candidates, and let's get a board member on there. And then keep going. After that, pick a superintendent, and then the real work starts after that. So.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. I have a question in the chat room for you. When will SCOE have a night meeting so parents and teachers can attend?
That's an excellent question. I brought that up. And I said, you know, we could vote on that. We could make it night meetings. We could have the public more engaged. And what happened, first the SCOE Office of Education and Judy, they pointed back to on our organizational meeting in December, we set the plan for the whole year. So we can't change that now. Even though we could vote as a board to change it, they said we can't change it. We have to keep it with the same way we're doing it. I think Steve McFarlane spoke up, and he was talking about how they thought about doing that in the past and maybe even had a couple of night meetings, but they would have to pay their employees overtime. Well, the employees that are showing up to give these meetings are all on salary, so we're not paying them overtime
right, to
be there. Unless it's, you know, maybe the janitor that's not on salary or people that have to close it down. So there's not a whole lot of money that we have to pay out for people. And, you know, a lot of school boards have night meetings so that parents and community members can get off of work and head down there and be part of that. There is a couple board members that said, you know, it would be a good idea to at least have an occasional board meeting at night.
Mm-hmm.
That way people could get things on the agenda that they would really like to talk about, and they can come talk to the board about it, and we can actually hear from the community what in person what they had to say.
So it looks like you only meet like once a month?
We meet once a month. It's mostly every other, no, it's every second Tuesday down there on Innsbruck in the county building, and at 1:30. And that's where we meet. There might be a date that's off there based on a holiday or something like that, spring break or whatnot, where we move it up a week or back a week. But it's always going to be on the second Wednesday at 1:30 at Innsbruck.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, that they won't allow you to go ahead and change the calendar, basically.
Well, you can.
For the year.
You just have to have a majority vote.
Well,
The majority doesn't want to hear from the community. They want to go there at 1:30,
exactly,
have
a
nice little social club.
Well, it sounds
have
a little bit like
their
the
coffee
board,
club.
Sounds a little bit like the Board of Supervisors there when we first started getting involved with them. They didn't want to hear what we had to say.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you have people, I mean, these people that
we're
they affect,
extremists.
Their employees are working while we're having the board meeting. So is the employees going to come down there at 1:30 and take the day off so they can come and talk to their boss about something they don't like? Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah,
that's probably
not good for advancement in your profession.
And it makes it really hard on the parents and the people of the other people of the community, because who can take off at 1:30 to go to a meeting?
Yeah.
Which, it's crazy.
All right. So I guess, let me see, I got a couple of things.
Is there anything else that you wanted to go over?
You know, we talked about the night meetings. We talked about term limits. They shot that down. We talked about, actually recording the meetings, if that would be a great opportunity for the community.
I think that would
be. So if you can't attend because it's at 1:30, then you could actually listen or maybe have a video of what happened at the board meeting so that you can become engaged. You know, I don't represent the board because I'm just one member. So, you know, these are all my opinions, but they do say that they pointed out that the president of SCOE is the spokesperson for SCOE.
That's
according
convenient.
According to the policy. And I was like, yeah, and I'm a normal citizen. I can say whatever I want. And these are my opinions that I express and that I bring to the community to educate. You know, so we really need open communication, transparency, and accountability. And the minutes they put on are just subjective. I don't know if you read minutes from, like, different board meetings, mm-hmm. but ours – You'll read it, and they don't even reflect the intent of the speaker. So you're reading along, you're like, this isn't even a great story. I mean, it's not that the person's doing a bad job. They're just doing a job based on the tools that they have available to them. And since it's not recorded, they can't go back through and say, I wonder what the speaker said. Oh, I actually misquoted the speaker, but it's not recorded.
Doesn't that violate the Roberts Rules of Order for
Well, that's what the Brown Act in California says, that you only have to record actionable items. So you don't actually have to include anything except, you know, board member Gorman voted this way. That's all you have to include in your report. If you include anything in addition, well, that's up to you if that's what you
want
to do.
I think that you would want to be able to go back to the meetings and see kind of what sort of happened.
Yeah, and if it was recorded
or
on video, you could.
But then again, you could have parents, if they have the video, like Board of Supervisors. I know a lot of times their meetings, I'm not there, but at work, I can play it and listen to what's going on.
See, I think
so. You can be informed for future items.
I think that would be a big push that people should take up on that, because you'd start seeing what's really happening in these meetings with parents and everything else. That's probably what they don't want, because, you know, parents are starting to get a little bit up in arms and complaining about some stuff. I don't know, like, you know, CRT, you know, we could go on, but. I guess if you record that, see, that then gets out on the internet and exposes people for their positions.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So here's a question I have for you. Would there be any blowback on your position if, let's say, every time a meeting started, you just went up there, set up your mobile phone, started recording to Facebook Live and said, hey, if you guys want to be able to watch it later, here it is.
Yeah, you could do that. You can do it. It's a public meeting, so you can record it. You can do whatever you want.
Huh, that's
what about you and your position being able to start it up on a Facebook?
Oh, yeah, I'm just a citizen here in Shasta County. And
interested
citizen.
In the truth and politics and you know, having the public participation in it.
Right, yeah. Hmm. So the biggest thing, you know, when it comes to these politics, and I think we've learned it throughout the last campaigns, is like we can't just attack people personally. We have to show the facts. Mm-hmm. And then we can't say that we're going to go in and fire everybody and clean house. But we have to be honest and say, okay, what is our goal? What are we hoping to change? What are we hoping to accomplish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to keep, you know, this is the hope and the change that we want and the vision for the future. And we need more people to run to actually influence that change. Because once you get in there, these folks that are not elected, they need the power of someone to step up and lead them. A lot of them just want – they're just hoping and waiting, just like we're hoping and waiting for a good president or hoping and waiting for a good governor. They're hoping that someone in leadership will show up.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen.
And then guide them. So locally, we have a big influence to mm-hmm. run for school board positions in 2024, and we could take over SCOE. We could take over every school district in Shasta County.
That's what needs to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will it happen?
So in 24, all of them – will be running?
Not all the positions will be open, but half of them will be.
Do you have a list of those somewhere that we could get?
Yeah. Actually, you know, Richard Gallardo had a big list, and so did the Freedom Co., and we're going to compile that together. There's big groups
Maybe
forming.
Maybe we can get that and publish it some more and more. You know, how long till the election? 20. What's the next
24?
Election?
24.
24, the next presidential election.
So I think we should just get that out there now as much as possible, because then people have time to sort of gear up if they want to do something like that.
And like I said, the commitment is low, just one day a month.
Right.
Well, and we need people to stand for this, because you have these positions that are available that a lot of times people are not running for, or if they are running, they're running unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally is going to determine this child's education and this community and what's going to take place here. This is bigger than a presidential.
The people that have their kids in these schools need to step up and get involved. Right. You know, I've pulled my kids out of the schools for all of these reasons, but some people don't have that option.
Exactly,
and so they need to get involved in these school boards in order to start directing traffic a little bit on how they want their kids educated.
And on my board, there are three people that ran unopposed and just got in by filing their $60 petition to get elected. That's all they did. They spent $60, got elected.
Right, but it takes us to get the information out there and start educating the people. We weren't involved in this a couple years ago, and now we're seeing that we have to get involved in it and educate the people out there that it is only one day a month, $60. You know, a lot of times you think, oh, my God, I can't afford it, or,
right.
or you know, it's going to be too time-consuming.
It's the time factor, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's
up to us.
There's big groups forming, you know, parent-led, community-led groups like the Moms for Liberty and California Parents United that are gearing up right now, and they're pushing these folks on social media platforms and financially supporting them or paying their candidate statement or doing a lot of different things to help them out. And so in 2 years, you're going to see a big change, not only around the country from the Moms of Liberty, because they have chapters almost in every county.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to see California Parents United with Tracy Henderson making a big splash. And they're actually all working together for parents to take back their community.
Perfect.
Yeah. And like we were talking earlier during the break, I just read not too long ago that a lot of the teachers across the whole United States are opting out of the teachers union. And so they're taking that back so the union doesn't have so much control over what they say or do, you know?
Right.
Well, yeah, it is. And but it's one of the biggest unions there is the teacher union.
Yeah, the union started out as something good. And actually, your local reps represent their teachers really well, but all the money goes to the main.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they use that
to fund the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
Right.
And we found out with the Newsom recall that most of your dollars, whether you're a nurse, a firefighter, a teacher, a law enforcement, all your union dues are going to be spent to directly oppose your way of life.
Yeah, I mean, how wrong is that? I mean, we're funding our own destruction, and that needs to stop.
Well, and that's the problem. Until we actually start taking a stand and say, no more Disney Plus, no more any of the rest of these things, until we stop feeding the
beast. Well, that's really happening, too, because, I mean, Disney's market share is, like, plummeting right now. They're going, the woke and go broke thing is really true. There's people that are just saying, you know, I'm never going to, you know, there's so many alternatives now that are starting to come out, you know, whether it's the Tuttle Twins or, you know, there's a bunch of different alternatives, but it's sad because I grew up with Disney as a kid and we loved Disney. It was great.
Disney was great. Yeah.
But now, you know, we got that one Disney thing I was just looking at is like, Disney cartoon pushes reparations. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, you know, and they expect their business model to work for normal people and that want their kids not to be, you know, indoctrinated, but want their kids to have a happy childhood as well as a good learning environment, you know?
Disney used to have cartoons that put a little bit of humor in there for the adults, so while you're watching with your kid, you're like, oh, that was funny. The kids didn't even know, but now they're indoctrinating your kids on cartoons.
So
we've got a
bunch of stuff that I put together on that, internet safety, and I want to do more on that. We'll probably do it on the podcast, but you know, the thing is that good kids is a start, and it starts leading to all these different avenues of being able to educate your kids, you know, with the kind of information that you want them to have. I'll tell you what, if you start watching YouTube or kids YouTube, they are just unbelievable. I was watching one yesterday, and I had to explain it. They were talking about, you know, they were making a cake, but in the background, they're talking about how your parents are all screwed up, and, you know, you need to, you know, not listen to them. And that, I mean, I'm like, what? This is kids YouTube.
I think people need to
promote drag queens.
Limit their kids on the internet and stuff. Well, not only, you know.
You, to a degree you can, but to a degree you can't. I think the answer is not limit them as much as educate them in the proper things and what people are trying to do to them, because they're going to get on the internet whether you like it or not. They're going to have phones whether you like it or not. They're going
to
have computers.
Well, that's true to a certain degree, but there is age limits and stuff that you can introduce and not when they're, you know, little.
I don't think so. Not anymore, because.
I think there is. So, like, for us in our house, we homeschool, right. And then our kids do not have phones. They don't need them. And I've already had the conversation with my eldest that you can have a dumb phone, a flip phone, when you're 12 years old. It's not going
to
have.
Well, see, what I'm saying is, in order to get into the world, you're going to have to learn some of this stuff, because as you get older, you can't avoid the internet. You can't avoid computers. So I think that my personal thing is the best thing is to channel them into the proper places on the internet, channel them into the proper information.
I don't think so, because when you look at it and you look at, like, take, for instance, China. China's model on this, for their kids who are there, they have the Chinese version of TikTok. It's all learning, it's all education, and you
so
can
don't
only
let
be on it a certain amount.
So don't let them watch TikTok.
I think it has to be age-appropriate, a lot of this stuff. Right. I believe parents nowadays, a lot of them, and I'm not saying all of them, plug their kids into the phone and the internet and a computer at a very early age and use it as a babysitter. Well, I truly believe that.
To a degree, you're right. But in some cases, in a lot of cases, they don't have a choice because they have to work. They have to do things. They don't have the money. You know, they're not making very much. So what I'm saying is that that's not going to work for the big scheme of things. It might work for some people.
A lot of it, when you end up looking at it, so like for my wife to be able to do it, it is a hardship because we lose that other side of income. And right. That's a choice we've decided to make, but we're already seeing the fruit of that in our kids and their behavior and how they're acting compared to most kids. And the thing about it is, so like my
I think it's parenting period. See, that's what I'm saying. I think it's parenting period. I think when you start talking to your kids, when you start explaining things to your kids, instead of avoiding things, I think you explain things to them, because if the 13-year-old gets a boyfriend and all you do is down there, you don't get stay away from them. What it does is then they want to do it more, you know? So I think you've got to explain things and talk to them, but that's
you
my personal
explain
opinion.
Explain it, but you've got to, like, for instance, my kids, they want to play Roblox and they want to play these other games that are geared towards kids and they want to play online. The problem is you have a bunch of these failure to launch adults that are saying the most heinous things you wouldn't see on X-rated videos, and they're saying it in these kids' games.
I get it.
And it's common.
I think it takes a combination of everything
I think that's probably
again, the age appropriate stuff, you know, there's a lot of different factors. Again, it's people being involved, the parent being involved, whether it's the internet, the school system, or whatever needs to be more in.
You isolate your kid from the computer and the phone. And then he goes.
Well, he didn't say isolate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't get a phone, but their friend has a phone. Okay, do you think that they're not at the school or wherever they go or the church or wherever the friend doesn't pull out a phone and say, look at this stuff?
Okay, but do you remember when we were kids? What were we told if Jimmy down the street had something and we didn't?
That's not the issue.
What were we told? You can't have everything that Jimmy has.
That's true.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I'm not aware of it.
Oh, I didn't say you weren't aware of it, but that doesn't mean that.
I don't know.
So.
We're going to argue about this.
But yeah. Anyhow.
So they're aware of it, and they use it, and they use it with our guidance on
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good way to put it.
That's what I'm saying.
Just like China.
I mean, honestly, as far as what China's doing to with their kids,
they know.
Looks a lot better than what it is.
Well, it's like they know that what they're doing with their kids is working very well, and they're actively working against us to make sure that we don't do our job well.
Exactly.
So what I'm going to promote is internet safety. You know what to look for, what the signs are, how to recognize these sites, how to tell which sites to avoid, and I think that's going to be the key with the guidance, and that's what I'm going to be focusing on more and more as we're going along online.
And to say that with safety,
bullying.
You have to do that as an adult.
Yeah, sure. But an adult, you've got discernment, and the kids don't have that.
Right, but I mean, but you could lose every. You know, we talk about that a lot on our other show. Safety is a big thing when it comes to the internet and computers and stuff across the board.
You mean when I get those emails that say I won a couple of $1 million and
yeah,
I need
that's
to contact,
one of them.
Contact this guy in Uganda, I shouldn't push the link.
The biggest thing with kids, and they're coming out, even the left-wing media is reporting this, is that, you know, when kids are going on social media, whether it's TikTok, Facebook, whatever they like right now, and that clicking and that dopamine release they get from instant gratification of having people affirm whatever they're doing is really a detriment, and that becomes an addiction. So properly guiding them through that process, educating them.
We had to pull
the
computer away from one of the children this last couple of weeks. Boom, you're off it for 2 weeks.
And it limits their ability to be able to focus on long-term things. So that's one of the big things that the studies are showing. And Gates, for all the evil that I think he does in the world, here's an interesting thing.
I've got a video on Gates, too, but I think let's go to a break. Let's come back, play the video, and then let's talk about your what you got on Gates.
Okay. And then we have a question in the chat room for you.
All right, so let's do it.
With that,
we
will take a break, and we'll catch you on the other side, folks. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Yeah, Simon.
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this, when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days like this, when all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they do. And I must remember, there'll be days like this, when you don't need an answer. There'll be days like this.
Single from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Thank you.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Like a boss.
Just saying. Okay, so we're going to play. we're gonna play this little thing from Five Times August, then we'll talk about Bill Gates. We also want to hit that article that you had about the Zuckbucks and the election
Zuckbucks
stuff. Yeah. So let's play this. This is just new stuff from Five Times August. He's a true patriot, but this is kind of telling. It's titled Gates Behind the Bars. There's a picture of the temple on Epstein Island, by the way. You might want to watch the video.
Loose. He's bought all the land. He's out for revenge to hurt every man. He'll print all the food and drug every kid. Pretend like he's good, then hide what he did. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe till we have gates behind the bars. The geek's in control, he's changed his disguise. His chemical world will be your demise. He's sick and he's cruel and acts like he's God. Speaks on the stage while zombies applaud. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe till we have gates behind the bars. Plots with his friends. The forum they have is a circle of sin. There's snakes all around who traffic and kill. They'll dope up the world with needles and pills. Nobody's safe.
Prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say will get attention this time.
Wow. I guess we know how Brad feels there Five Times August. Yeah.
And we can't forget, too, the whole situation with them asking him about Epstein and him just being like, what does it matter? He's dead.
I can't remember.
I'm going to post the video on Facebook. If you haven't seen it, I recommend that you watch it. It's, you know, has a lot of moving parts there, but, and it's obviously an artistic, thing as far as a song. But I'll tell you what, I think he's nailing it on the head here, and, we need to pay attention to this thing.
Well, and a lot of it, too. So, like, Tom McDonald has that famous song that he ended up coming out with where he talks about how we say we freed the slaves. We don't. It's right here in our hands. These cell phones are chains that end up binding us. And you basically – how much of our freedoms have we turned over for this idea of a cell phone that right now is sitting right here next to me that is tracking my location? It's – recording everything I say, everything I type, everything I do on this device, and selling out to whoever in God.
Hey, all you got to do is test your theory by going, "Hey, I think I'm going to buy a espresso machine," and you know what'll happen? Espresso machine starts coming up on all your apps. Isn't that interesting?
I was playing basketball with my son, and then now all Facebook wants to show me is how to be a better basketball dribbler.
But they're not listening in or anything. Come on, guys. Well,
it even goes as far as, you know, those advertisements on, like, Google and stuff like that in your personal email? You'll all of a sudden start getting advertisements
about. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And to further that statement, all of these big tech moguls who have kids don't let their kids have them. So, like, right here, this is billionaire tech mogul Bill Gates reveals he banned his children from mobile phones until they turned 14, and even then after that had massive restrictions. Yeah. Why would a guy that knows about all the tech say, yeah, no, that's not for you?
Okay, so let's move on because I got a couple other things. We got 15 minutes left. Let's talk about Zuckbucks real quick, and then I got to play this video about the bombing of the pipeline over there. We just got to listen to it. It's interesting.
This was in the Daily Caller. It's called, the title is Zuckbucks 2.0 Liberal Group Uses Legal Magic Trick to fund elections office, even in red states, watchdogs say.
I'll post this on Facebook.
Yeah, and it goes through telling about different organizations. You know, Mark Zuckerberg is involved in this in the 2020 election, how they found out that to fund different stuff, maybe they needed to do it a different way to be involved on the Democratic side. And so they came up with this, you know, like a award of excellency. Well, right. Okay. Well, just so you know, the second one on the list is, wait for it, Shasta County.
Yeah. U.S. Centers for Election Excellence by the guys from Zuckerberg who want to manipulate everything, nothing to see
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I forget what show it was on, they had brought it up about our elections office getting, you know, they even got the award. Huh, I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
You know, where did the funding come and why did you get picked? And
that's what I'm proud about, the Shasta County GOP, because they're wanting to go to the Board of Supervisors and directly oppose that.
Oh, I did not know that. So interesting.
Our Shasta County GOP guys, they're actually doing stuff now.
They had some changes.
They had some changes in leadership, and they decided that, you know, maybe we should represent our people well here in Shasta County, and maybe we should use our influence for good. So they said that they would like to go to the Shasta Board supervisors and talk to them about the U.S. Alliance for Election Excellence that Kathy Arling Darling wants to bring Zuckbucks into our community so that we can increase their influence over our elections. I mean, over our kids on their cell phone.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know what Zuckerberg is really wanting to do. I mean, there's, you know, this globalist agenda, and he must be part of it with Bill Gates. But
I would say
getting Zuckbucks here in Shasta County if Kathy Arling Darling convinces the supervisors to go for it.
I'm thinking that you put an F in front of those, and then you got Zuckbucks.
and that wouldn't tie into the voting machines or anything either now, would it?
No.
I mean, right?
You have to pay. You have to use the grant how they want you to use it.
Oh,
or you don't get to have the money.
You mean no matter what, we should accept the money, even if it's strange.
What we've become is prostitutes to the highest bidder. I think is what we're saying here. I mean, that's how ugly it is. You know, is that gee, if anybody will give us the money to fund whatever we want, then we'll do whatever they say.
I mean, as of the first of the year, I mean, it's technically legal. It's not illegal. So let's touch the Scott Wiener thing for a minute.
I'm not sure I like the sound of that.
Are you touch? Okay, we can skip by that.
SBville.
Is this a family friendly?
SBville 357 took effect on January 1st. California is seeing a spike in public prostitution, including scantily clad or fully nude women soliciting outside of sensitive places like elementary schools. Also has seen an uptick in trafficking and prostitution because now they're not doing anything about it.
Another failed government policy by California.
Well, before we move on, we had a guest. Remember Wayne Allen Root said that the government had, you know, done the houses over in Nevada, the prostitute houses, and they failed at it. They went bankrupt. They couldn't even run that correctly. Okay. Just so you know.
There was too many politicians that wanted freebies.
Just saying.
All right, here we go. This is from Absolute Truth. This is about the pipeline thing, and you got to listen to this because this is pretty weird. Here we go.
One of the allegations that Herf makes is that it was taken off the CIA in order to prevent involvement, oversight, as a covert operation. Did you read the piece?
I'm familiar with it.
One of his allegations is that it was taken off the
field. Look, rather than let this propaganda be aired in the briefing room, let me just say it is
he's
a fundamental misunderstanding of oversight in our U.S. Congress. Beyond getting his facts entirely wrong, as he has before in very high-profile ways, it is a fundamental misunderstanding to suggest that our intelligence community is not subject to oversight. Anyone who writes that,
he wrote that it was taken off of the CIA and put under military in order to prevent.
Our military is also subject to rigorous oversight.
Now, the Biden State Department is vehemently denying a bombshell report by former New York Times reporter turned Substack independent journalist Seymour Hersh, blaming the U.S. for the Nord Stream pipeline's demise. In this very piece, Hersh lays out in detail the planning and execution of the explosion of the pipelines utilizing U.S. Navy divers taking part in a very public event. According to Hersh, instead of the usual go-to Navy SEALs or other special ops, Navy divers taking part in this public NATO training exercise in the Baltic last summer were used to carry out the operation Hiding in Plain Sight. The Navy Public Relations Department even put out this press release announcing their participation in what it calls the premier maritime-focused exercise in the Baltic region focused on the demonstration of NATO mine-hunting capability. The Biden administration chose to use these Navy divers rather than Navy SEALs or other special ops because Navy divers would be able to skirt having to report their covert actions to Congress's Gang of Eight, as Special Operation Commands would have been required to do. According to Hersh, the U.S. determined that the country of Norway was best positioned to serve as a base for the operation and a partner country. A new U.S. submarine base had recently become operational within Norway as well. Worried that a two-day detonation period would blow the cover of that very public exercise and opportunity, the Americans came up with a way to delay the detonation. Now, remember when Joe Biden had this to say, as his administration denies involvement, about how he would end the Nord Stream pipeline?
If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks and troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that? Exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
Well, it looked like they figured out how. And join us now is Larry Johnson, a veteran of the CIA and the Department of State, who also trained special operations members for over two decades. He's also the author of the Sonar 21 blog, Sonar 21.
So I'll let you guys listen to the rest of that on the Substack, but you know, who they've been blaming? They've been blaming Putin for blowing up his own pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Biden on tape saying they would do it if they invaded Ukraine?
Sounds like a quid pro quo.
Yeah, you know, and then this cash cow,
partially fake.
This cash cow thing going on in Ukraine is starting to, you know, more and more is leaking out on it. So you got Hunter Biden over there, you know, sending billions of dollars to the Ukraine and, when going through Burisma and all these oil companies, and the Nord Stream pipeline was in competition with Burisma. And so, the plot thickens and all this money is this cash cow in Ukraine that's going back through the,
channels back to the
channels back to the head honcho there, the big guy. And then the Hunter laptop, boy, I'll tell you what, this is all coming out and I don't think they're going to be able to suppress it. But so what we'll do? Let's start World War III.
Yeah.
Well, the mainstream media says that the Hunter laptop thing is just only half fake.
Well, and I posted, half fake. I posted something on Facebook, and the guy said about China, and the guy says China's not our enemy; it's our own government. And I got to thinking about that. You know, maybe China isn't our enemy. Maybe they are, but at this point, who's more of a threat?
Well, but don't we have China Joe?
Well, maybe China, maybe China is Joe.
Yeah. You have the top elite people pushing lots of money around, handing each other checks. It happens in the global atmosphere. It happens in our national politics. It even happens here locally. People just get jobs because of nepotism and they juice their buddies in and they, you know, move them over from accounting position.
You get the project going into the company that, you know, is doing,
and if you don't do your job right, we just promote you and move you into or create an office for you.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
Might buy you a ballpark.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe give you a land deal.
And if the unwashed masses recall you.
Wow.
We might change national or statewide ways. And so you can't do recalls anymore.
Wow. Oh, they're trying to.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine that.
I don't know.
Because we got wise with the machines and what's going on in the election office and rolls and how the election wasn't like it was supposed to
be. There's more good stuff coming out of Substack right now than any of the other organizations. You know, that's where Mac Tabby's been posting. And so the mainstream media is just in the tank about everything. But it's leaking out this other information from other places now because the independent journalists are going to Substack so they can still make a living. And so I recommend that you maybe get a Substack account if you want to start understanding what's going on. This is pretty obvious. This Nord Stream pipeline, especially when you've got him on tape admitting that they would destroy it if they invaded the Ukraine.
Yep.
Wow.
Any last thoughts?
Yeah. So the biggest thing we need to do in Shasta County is protect our citizens locally by running for board positions, whether that's a water board, a school board, city council. You just have to see what your level of commitment is. These water boards and school boards, easy to get on. You just have to pay a small fee, do a couple of social media posts, and you could be in a position that has great influence over the next generation. If you have more time that you can devote to something, go ahead and run for a city council or a county board.
Well, and we can't save the world, but we need to start saving ourselves at the county level as much as possible before we can get a hold of the rest.
Yep.
You know, getting rid of Dominion voting machines is a pretty big start as well. So I think we're on the right track, but local, state, federal, you got to start local.
That's right.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Thanks for coming in. We'll have you back again and, you know, keep up to date on everything. We appreciate it.
So we got a couple minutes left. All skate, whatever you want to do. I don't care.
Where do we go from here?
Well, there's only a couple minutes, so I don't know. There's so many stories.
I know that, you know, about the vaccines. I did have a question in the chat room about if you wanted to comment about what's happened at Mercy as an RN. Is there anything? I think with COVID or anything. Let me open it back up. Of course.
Today's Super Bowl day, by the way. I don't even know what time the Super Bowl is.
3:30.
I don't care to watch it, but whatever. They knocked the 49ers out, and, you know, that was the only thing that I even cared about at all, and I'm not sure I cared about that either.
The commercials might be good.
The commercials will be good. We'll watch that.
Paid for by Pfizer.
Are you seeing anything at Mercy Hospital as a nurse as far as COVID or COVID-related things?
I think
you
talked about that earlier. You know, I think you're going to see things globally, nationally, and locally. They're going to pop up, and it's not going to be surprising. what you're going to see. You know, if you go through any database anywhere, they're going to tell you that you're a conspiracy theorist right now because it's not big enough for everybody to have someone that it's personally affected.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, we got to find some more conspiracy theories because all the conspiracy theories have turned into facts now. So we're running out of things to be theorizing about
because they're truthful.
Because they're all true. So we got to come on.
You have to boil them slow.
we're boiling too fast here, you know.
Yeah, boy. things that you didn't think were true turn out to be true 2 years later.
Yeah. You
scary stuff.
And it used to be that you were on the edge of being a nut, and now you're a Nostradamus.
There we go.
That's going to cue us up into Secret Agent Man. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good week, everybody.
Oh, hold on. We got to say the government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force like fire. It is a dangerous servant of the fearful master.
All gun controls, racist. Have a great week, y'all.